You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
I'm too old for this nonsense.
And Daryl.
Back in my day, there was only one type of paladin, and we were glad to have him.
Greetings, and welcome to episode 157 of The Training Dummies. As you can see, Uther is our go-to paladin guy to pull clips from. We did it for a protection paladin a couple weeks ago, and both of us jumped to the same guy for Holy, which is fitting, I suppose. He seems to be the only paladin there. With me, as always, Rob. How you doing today, evening, Rob?
Doing great, man. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
All right. You know what? I don't think I... Did I say this was episode 157, recorded on February 25th?
Yep, you did.
Did I?
You did, huh?
Oh, so I did it twice?
Your old is showing.
It is showing. All right. So as I mentioned earlier, we're doing a Holy Paladin episode. And joining us this evening is Dreamguard. Let's give a big Training Dummies welcome for Dreamguard. How you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Jay, thank you so much for taking some time here on this Saturday night to come and hang out and talk some Holy Pally with us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Well, before we get into all that, we'll do a little bit of get-to-know-you session and then see what makes you tick or how you've been in-game, and then we'll get into the good stuff here. So, let's see. Because I've never asked this question before. This is the first time I've ever asked this.
Uh-oh.
Is how, what, when did you start playing, and what is your current name?
I started playing in 2005, vanilla. I actually started playing my first semester of college, which was probably a just horrible idea. And I started actually playing on a warrior. I didn't really know what I was doing. I think I went to a few raids, but I didn't really do anything. And then in Burning Crusade is when paladins came to Horde. And so I re-rolled onto a paladin in Burning Crusade, thinking I was going to tank, and then ended up really liking Holy. And so I swapped to Holy early in Burning Crusade and have been a Holy Paladin ever since.
Nice.
That's a long time as to stay true to one specter.
Yeah, well, I took a break from raiding at the beginning of Cataclysm and then mostly through Mists of Pandaria. So I haven't really been like raiding as a Holy Paladin the entire time, but I've mostly played my Paladin. I was still kind of like casual doing it.
What is the origin of the name Dreamguard?
Actually, my first Paladin was actually named Dreamscar. Back when I saw it, I think I saw like a Night Elf Hunter with that name and just thought it sounded cool. And so when I made my paladin, I just named it Dreamscar. And it kind of felt like the name didn't really make a whole lot of sense. And it was kind of ambiguous as to whether it was like Dreams Scar is a scar you got while dreaming or Dreams Car is, I don't know. So then I re-rolled to, I think, a different server. And then I kind of renamed it Dreamguard, more like based on Vanguard, who's like a prominent rep paladin PvPer. And then I just kind of stuck with that. Mostly people just call me Dream, and so all of my alts have some like terrible named Dream something, and so I just kind of stick with that.
How about McDreamy? Are you using that one yet?
No. Oh my God. I mean, well, the problem is, you know, like if I could, I would just be Dream. But like, obviously, you're never going to get that name on a server, so I have to come up with something stupid for all of my characters.
Yeah, or you have to use like one of those alternate letter is still an A, but it has like a little thing. Yeah. I usually resort to that. And it's really neat when people are trying to type your name out. So. What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of gaming?
Man, this is hard. I don't know that I have just one fond memory. I mean, most of the things I can think of are just doing stupid things with friends in games. Like WoW, LAN parties, all sorts of that. I don't know that I have just one. It's just kind of a general having fun with friends, you know?
That's fair. What did you say is your favorite Blizzard title?
I've definitely been playing WoW the longest, but for periods like when I told you I took a break in Cataclysm and Mists of Pandaria, and that was because I wasn't too happy with how the game was going. So I think I'm going to have to give it to Warcraft 2, because I played a ton of Warcraft 2. Just a ton. Nice. But WoW was a very close second.
What about your favorite raid boss of all time?
It has to be Velithria Dreamwalker. And it's funny because I think a lot of people hate that boss who don't heal it because, I mean, it wasn't that great of a boss back in ICC. Mm-hmm. But it felt like one of the only bosses that actually kind of had a role reversal for DPS and healers, where the DPS kind of got, you know, the not as much fun and the healers got to just go, you know, ham on Velithria. So I always really enjoyed that, even though I'm pretty sure most of my guild just hated that boss.
I thought you liked it just because it had Dream in the name.
Exactly. Well, I mean, hey, that's a big thing too. Yeah, definitely.
What is your favorite thing about Legion so far?
I think this is kind of a controversial answer, but I think that the AP system is actually really good. Your artifact weapon and artifact power is really good. I think there's been a lot of complaints about how much it feels like you have to grind and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. I can empathize with that. I understand. But I think it's done a lot of good things for keeping people interested in the game. Like those, like small, you know, feeling like you get even just the small reward from doing everything, I think is really good for the longevity of the game. So I really enjoy that.
It's a good
point. Rob, do you have any bonus questions?
No, sir.
All right. Me neither.
This is Miranda Blue from MirandaBlue.com, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
If you have any questions or comments or want to see how we're doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Daryl_TTD. Yeah, this evening is all about Holy Paladins. If you guys have listened to the class guide episodes before, you kind of know how it goes. Let's see. Dream, you want to maybe start off? Maybe I'll ask you this. You liked playing Holy Pally. Do you feel like it's been changed a lot over time, or do you still feel like it's the core of what it was when you first were drawn to it?
I think it's changed a lot over the course of WoW. I think it kind of changed a lot, just like a lot of healers did in Cataclysm. They went to they kind of homogenized healers, gave everyone AoE, and I think they kind of went a little crazy with paladins then. But have since kind of dialed it back and gone back to more of the roots. I feel like Holy Paladin is pretty close to what it used to be a long time ago when I loved it.
So what kind of stats are we looking for a Holy Paladin?
Holy Paladin primarily wants crit most of the time. The big thing for Holy Paladins is that Holy Shock gets twice the critical strike chance. And whenever you do crit with Holy Shock, you get a buff called Infusion of Light, and that either increases the healing of Flash of Light by 50%, or it reduces the cast time of Holy Light by a second. And so that kind of interaction between Holy Shock doing a lot of healing because it crits a lot, as well as giving you the Infusion of Light buff, is a pretty sizable chunk of healing for Holy Paladin. So we like crit a lot. The only real thing to worry about there is that whenever you use Avenging Wrath, which is kind of your big healing cooldown, you get an additional 20%. So because Holy Shock gets double, you really only want 50. But with Avenging Wrath active, that additional 20 means 30% is kind of what you're looking for. You really want to get to at least 30%.
Okay.
And then after you get to 50%, it kind of falls off because that's the point where every single Holy Shock is going to crit. So as long as you're in between 30 and 50%, you're fine. You don't really have to get to 50, even though it might be a better stat. It's just anywhere in that range is fine. Then after crit, everything is kind of similar. You're not really going to fall too far behind either way. There's pros and cons to everything. Haste, it might give you a little bit more healing per point, but it also makes you run out of mana faster. Mastery is probably one of our highest raw throughput stats, but it can really depend on the fight, because our mastery for Holy Paladin is increased healing based on the proximity of whomever you're healing. So on a fight that's kind of spread out, you don't really get to use your mastery that right. well. But certain fights where you're really grouped up, like Krosis, for example, the entire group is, the raid is grouped up a lot, so you get really good mastery out of that. So the versatility is probably lower throughput, but you also get the damage reduction, which is usually nice. So I think I would say try for between 30 and 50% crit. After that, don't worry too much about it. Just stick with higher item level.
That's actually really nice, because one of the, I don't want to say gripe, but one of the things that I have a slight problem with right now is just figuring out gear.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea, man. Like, I don't, is this good? I don't know. Like yeah, I'm asking, yeah. I'm looking at AMR, I'm going here, I'm talking to theory crafters, and it's like, well, I don't know. And I'm hitting this thing now where AMR is telling me to, sometimes it tells me to break this two-piece bonus, and sometimes it tells me to wear tanking bracers even when I'm DPSing, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah, and especially with all the, like, Titan Forge options and sockets mm-hmm. and tertiary stats, like, it's kind of out of control. I say, you know, you don't really have to worry about it. You can definitely min-max and find out which stats are better. I just think, in general, it's not something you really have to worry too much about. You're going to be fine just choosing whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good to hear. Nice to hear someone say that.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, to go on just a little rant here, I feel like, for the most part, like, if you were to look at what it takes to be a good raider, like, if you had a pie chart that was just like all the things that makes you a good raider, and let's I would say that healing is like 50% or less. I would say a big chunk of being a good raider is understanding fights, raid awareness, having good reactions, all these sorts of things, and healing is not as big of a part of that as I think people make it out to be, and then stat weights themselves are like a small chunk of that. Mm-hmm. I think people put a lot of emphasis on stat weights that you're worrying about a very small chunk of improvement here. I'm not saying they don't matter. I'm not saying you're an idiot for thinking that. I just think that that's something that the community worries about a lot, and I don't think there really is much.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. That makes perfect sense. The talents. Now, this is my favorite part of every class guide episode that we do. And mm-hmm. what we usually like to do is go through each tier. You know, where was a good situation for this talent? Maybe this talent is better in this situation. This is a trap talent, etc. So, if you want to start, let's start with tier 15 and go from there.
Okay. Tier 15. The first talent here is one called Bestow Faith, which is kind of strange. It's you put it on someone, it's a buff, and then 5 seconds later, it heals someone for a pretty good amount. It's a pretty good talent, and it's really cheap, really efficient. It overheals sometimes just because of that 5 second wait time, you know. Generally, I mean, it's good for pretty much any situation. You kind of just throw it on the tank for the most part. And just let it do its job. There's really not a whole lot to it. I mean, you can definitely be smart about it and know, you know, if certain damage is coming out in 5 seconds and I put it on the tank right then, it's probably going to heal right there. That's great. But for the most part, it's just kind of, you just kind of throw it on the tank. The second talent is Light's Hammer, which is we've Holy Paladins have had this talent for a little while. Mm-hmm. It's the big AoE healing and a little damage hammer. It's on a minute cooldown, lasts for I think like 15 seconds, something like that. And it's not a bad talent. I'm not gonna say it's a bad talent. I just don't think it's really quite as useful. Largely because that 1 minute cooldown, and it costs a lot of mana. The 1 minute cooldown makes it awkward to use. And it's just such a small area. And it's a hot thing. It ticks every 2 seconds. It does good healing. It's just, I feel like it's just awkward sometimes to use. If you don't have the group like clustered up together and they're not going to sit there for 15 seconds every minute, it's just not quite as worthwhile. It's still not bad, but not great. And then the last talent in this row is one called Crusader's Might. I think this is actually my favorite talent. Not a whole lot of paladins use it, to be honest.
Oh, wow. That's the one I took.
Yeah, I think it, number one, it's actually fun. It's a very different playstyle. So what the talent does is every time you use Crusader Strike, it reduces the cooldown of Holy Shock and Light It Dawn by 1.5 seconds. And a lot of paladins will use Bestow Faith for raiding. And I really love taking Crusader's Might. Number one, it's really good DPS because, I mean, you're using Crusader Strike, but when you're doing it, you're still getting, you know, theoretical healing from it because you're reducing the cooldown of Holy Shock and Light It Dawn. And it is crazy mana efficient because you're using Crusader's Might so much, you're allowed to regen mana. And I mean, I still do pretty darn good healing and I'll end fights at like 50% mana when, you know, it's a pretty, if I wasn't taking that, it would be a lot less. So I really like that one for both dungeons and raiding.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So then moving on to tier 30, I think this one is kind of like it's supposed to be a utility row. The first one is Cavalier, which makes it so that your Divine Steed, which is our kind of movement speed thing, you mount up on your class mount and then charge off. It makes it so you have two charges of that rather than just one. I haven't really found a ton of use for this. I use it in dungeons sometimes, but unless you really like have a specific use for it, just the one charge of Cavalier I think is fine for most cases. The next talent is Unbreakable Spirit, which reduces the cooldown of Divine Shield, Divine Protection, and Lay on Hands, i.e. 30%. Yeah. And again, this is okay. It's just, I mean, very rarely are you ever going to see like two times where you can use Divine Shield with the 30% reduction. It's just okay. It's okay. But mainly because the last talent called Rule of Law increases the range of our heals and our mastery by 50% for 10 seconds. And it's a 30-second recharge. So you can basically keep it up a third of the time if you're using it regularly. And that's a big deal. I mean, increasing our mastery range plus our healing range, that means you can like cleanse from farther away and heal farther away. I feel like that's a really nice talent, especially for raiding. So I don't generally see many people take Cavalier or Unbreakable Spirit.
Right. Okay.
Just because Rule of Law is just great. It's great for raiding. I would say maybe in dungeons you don't really need Rule of Law because for the most part people are generally pretty close to you. So in that case, maybe Unbreakable Spirit or Cavalier is kind of nice. But yeah.
I think I go Cavalier because I'm pretty much in love with that stupid horse.
I know, me too.
It's understandable. Yeah, that's understandable.
One of my favorite things this expansion is the Pally horse.
Yep.
It really is good. You know, yeah, in beta, we were a little worried because Cavalier was a talent just by itself. It wasn't baseline, and so I think a lot of people were worried. But once they put that in, I think that was a great decision. I think it's
oh, yeah, sense. I love it, too. What about tier 45? What are we looking at here?
This is mostly just our crowd control row. For the most part, I generally take Blinding Light. It's a 1.5-minute cooldown that does a decent chunk of damage. And it disorients for 6 seconds, which generally, like in a dungeon or something, I mean, that's going to, you know, the disorient is going to get popped immediately, but it can stop casts, you know. It doesn't, like, interrupt, but it at least will stop it in time for maybe someone else to interrupt or something. Then Repentance is the same as it kind of always has been. It's just like a, you know, disorients, or not a disorient, it incapacitates targets. And it's just, you know, just like most crowd control, I don't really see a huge need for it, especially in raids. And then the last one is Fist of Justice. So that normally your stun is a 1-minute cooldown, and then every time you use Judgment, it reduces that cooldown by 10 seconds, which is fine. It's not bad. I just generally take Blinding Light. You can really take any of those talents because they don't have a ton of impact, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
More just kind of a flavor thing.
All right, what about level 60?
Tier 60 is all of our auras, which I think is a pretty cool thing that they added to this. You know, we used to have auras a long time ago, and even though back then they weren't, you know, super useful, they didn't do a ton, I still think they were like a cool part of the fantasy of Paladin. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad they added these back in. So the first one we have is Devotion Aura, and that is basically kind of the same as it always has been, except it reduces damage taken by 20%, and it splits that between all allies within 10 yards. So if you have 20 people within, you know, 10 yards, every single person is only going to get 1%. And even though that may not sound like much, you're still getting a pretty good chunk of damage reduction. Especially so in Dungeons Mythic Plus, I typically always take Devotion Aura because you're at least going to get 5% no matter what. You're going to get 5%. 4% reduction from everybody. So that's pretty good. I not many people are using this in raids. And I think it's still useful. A damage reduction aura for like a major cooldown is really good against abilities that do just a ton of damage, like huge amounts of your health. And I think generally people are taking Aura of Mercy for that kind of thing. Or Aura of Sacrifice, just because they feel more comfortable with, you know, seeing a certain drop and then healing it back up. Especially because, like, damage reduction doesn't show up on meters. And let's be real, a lot of people love seeing numbers on meters.
Meters matter.
Exactly. So one of the other talents here is Mercy. And that's it's a really small heal, but it just kind of ticks on three allies within 10 yards every second. And so just, you know, by itself, doing that isn't really a ton of healing, but it adds up. It's small amounts that adds up. The big thing is using Aura Mastery with it that increases it the healing by quite a bit, and it does to all allies, all of your raid. So that's it's a decent healing cooldown, but it's never going to be something like a Tranquility or a Divine Hymn or Healing Tide. It's never going to do that much healing.
Yeah, it looks like I went with Mercy, but now that I'm looking at it, I'm wondering why I didn't go with Devotion.
You know, I mean, I think in general purpose, like the base Aura, not the Aura Mastery version, Aura of Mercy is probably going to end up doing more healing than Devotion Aura would have mitigated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard to tell. I'm not 100% sure on that, and that may depend on the fight. But I think if you kind of look at Aura of Mercy as both the just base healing plus the, you know, like raid cooldown healing, mm-hmm. it's generally pretty close to a normal mm-hmm. cooldown. It's just kind of different because most people expect the big healing from the cooldown. You know, you're trying to heal your raid back up from some big damaging thing so that they can be full health for the next big damaging thing. And so Aura of Mercy doesn't really do a whole lot with that. The only good thing for Aura of Mercy is that when you pop a Vindicating Wrath, you get 35% more healing, and that affects Aura of Mercy as well. So that can make it a little bit better. But you typically want to keep a Vindicating Wrath for like your own personal cooldown, not really a big raid cooldown. So
I like this tier, man. I'm looking at every one of these, and it's like I'm like thinking about them. You know, like
yeah, I think they did a really good job with these. These are all interesting. I don't think there's ever just a clear cut. This is the one you choose.
Yeah,
which is really good.
Yeah, and they all, I mean, as similar as they are, they all have like very specific differences that kind of give them that paladin flavor.
Yeah. So then the last talent, this is actually one of my favorites. It's called Aura of Sacrifice. And so when you're above 75% health, 10% of all damage from allies within 10 yards is redirected to you. Just kind of like, you know, Hand of Sacrifice used to do a similar thing. And to compensate with this, they gave Holy Paladins 15% more health. Even though we're at 75% health, that's still higher than you would expect because we have higher health.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really too big of a deal. I mean, I've never had an issue with that. I'll say I've never had an issue with being at 75% health and something killed me because of it. Generally, that's okay. But the really cool thing about Aura Mastery is that whenever about Aura of Sacrifice, when you use Aura of Mastery or Aura Mastery, it increases it duplicates 15% of all healing onto all allies in the raid. So when you use this with some of your big cooldowns, it can be just a ridiculous cooldown. I mean, like huge cooldown. And I find that to be a lot more interesting than just like a Tranquility or Divine Hymn or Healing Tide, because it can be as big as you want it to be. If you really need a huge cooldown for that specific instance, you can pop all your cooldowns with it and do crazy healing, or you can save your healing cooldowns for whenever you need them for other parts of the fight, and you just pop that and do some decent healing, and it's still a normal cooldown. I really like it because of that.
That sounds really cool, actually.
Yeah.
I might need to try this.
You should, especially on fights where you're, you know, taking like really big damage. I think it was seen a lot on Gwarm. A lot of people are using it on Spellblade Allurial, Krosis, those kind of fights where you have, you know, really big damaging hits and you got to heal it up fast. Mm-hmm. Pop that and get everybody up really quick.
That's cool. 75.
This tier is really good. I think this is probably the most diverse tier for paladins as to like what people will pick, mostly because it's kind of just how you want to play. I don't think any talent in this row is necessarily the best for any situation. You can kind of take any one you want. The first talent is Divine Purpose. Light of Dawn and Holy Shock have a 15% chance to not start their cooldown and make their next cast free. So you basically just get a free Light of Dawn or Holy Shock after you've done it once. Which makes it really efficient, because Holy Shock and Light of Dawn are already pretty big cooldowns for us, or like pretty big healing cooldowns for us. So giving a 50, basically just 15% more healing from them. The only downside is that sometimes that proc can be like right after another. You know, you get like three or four procs of Light of Dawn right after another, and if you don't need that healing, it can kind of suck. That's really the only downside to it.
Right.
But it's really efficient. The middle talent, Holy Avenger, it's just a minute and a half cooldown that increases your haste by 30% and increases Holy Shock healing by 30%. And it makes Holy Shock really, really big. Because like I said earlier, Holy Shock gets double the crit chance. So increasing that by 30% as well is really nice. I love taking Holy Avenger in Mythic Plus. Because we already have, you know, you have your raid cooldown on 3 minutes, plus you have Avenging Wrath at 2 minute cooldown, and then Holy Avenger at 1.5 minute cooldowns. It means you can kind of cycle through a cooldown pretty much every big trash pack, which is really nice.
Oh, wow.
And then the last one in this row is Holy Prism. This is this is the same spell that we've had previously. It just got neutered quite a bit. It's still the 20-second cooldown. You can hit an enemy with it, and it bounces off to 5 allies, or you can hit an ally, and it bounces off to 5 enemies. It does decent healing. It's a fine spell if you want to use it, if you want to have another thing to use, but nothing really that special. It's basically the same thing we've had for a while.
What are you taking that one, Daryl?
It depends. Like I said, in Mythic Plus, I usually take Holy Avenger. I should mention one of the other reasons that Holy Avenger is really good is because Holy Paladins are really good at doing DPS in Mythic Plus. Really, really good. And one of our big damage dealing abilities is also Holy Shock.
Mm-hmm.
And so increasing your haste, Holy Avenger doesn't increase the damage of Holy Shock, but it does increase your haste, meaning you get more Holy Shocks over the course of it being active. And Holy Shock is a big part of damage, for especially like on bosses. Mm-hmm. Plus, so I'll take that. Mm-hmm. But in raids, I either take Holy Avenger or Divine Purpose. Even though, you know, sometimes it could be a pain if you get the multiple procs in a row when you don't need it. Mm-hmm. For the most part, Divine Purpose ends up being pretty good. And I really like the mana saving from it. Plus, another thing is, like I said, I really like Crusader's Might, the one that reduces the cooldown of Holy Shock and Light of Dawn. And so whenever you get 15% chance to proc another one, plus you're doing a whole lot more because of reducing their cooldown. And so those two kind of synergize really well.
Mm-hmm.
And those two alone make it so that you have really, really low mana usage throughout a fight. I really like those two together.
Nice. Yeah, I've grabbed Divine Purpose on this as well. Although I haven't played Holy yet, this expansion, I want to get into it again. I really enjoyed it back in Cataclysm. That was the first time I had tried it. So and looking at some of these, I definitely want to get into it. So, but yeah, Divine Purpose is what I picked there as well.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's a passive, so it's really easy to use. You don't really have to worry about it. It just is effective for you. I like it.
Yeah, all right. Love them passives.
Yeah, I know what Rob picked.
Yeah, I did. I picked Divine Purpose.
All right, level 90. What are we looking at here?
This tier is the only tier that has what I think is a trap talent, and that is Fervent Martyr. And so one of the abilities that Holy Paladins got in Legion is one called Light of the Martyr, which is an instant cast, has no cooldown, pretty decent healing compared to like our normal filler spells. But whatever healing you do, 50% of that is taken as damage to you. And so Light of the Martyr, there's some good uses for it, but you're not really going to use it a ton. And so this talent, and another thing about it is that it's very cheap. It's very, very cheap, way cheaper than like Holy Light or Flash of Light.
Mm-hmm.
And so this ability makes it so that whenever you cast Holy Light or Flash of Light on your beacon, it reduces the mana cost of your next Holy or Light of the Martyr by 50%, stacking up to 2 times, so it can be free on your second one. Which the problem is that number one, like I said, Light of the Martyr doesn't really cost that much, so it's not, you're not really getting a huge gain from the mana itself. And the other thing is that we don't really want to cast on our Beacon of Light that often. The whole point of Beacon is that it's getting the extra heals from other people and then transferring to them. So
right, yeah.
for the most part, you're especially in a raid, you're trying to heal other people if you can. Obviously, there's times when you heal the tank because they're taking a lot of damage. But for the most part, it's just not that useful. I really can't find a good use for this in raids or dungeons. And honestly, this is the only talent in the entire Holy Paladin talent tree that I would say don't use. Every other talent you could use in some situation. This is the only one I don't really like that much.
Well, wow, okay.
So then the next two talents I think are both pretty good, and they both see quite a bit of play from Paladins. The first one being Judgment of Light. And this is kind of a throwback to back when Paladins used to have like Judgment of Light, Judgment of Mana, I think Judgment of Justice or something like that. But so that you would judge an enemy and they would just have little bits of healing. It's basically just that. Whenever you cast Judgment on an enemy, it puts like a 40 stack debuff that heals whoever hits it. Mm-hmm. And this is really cheap. And it's really, really good with our legendary Judgment Ring. We have a legendary ring that makes it so that whenever you cast Judgment, it increases all healing by 20% for 5 seconds.
Oh, nice.
And so if you have the ring, you're going to want to be using Judgment, which normally doesn't really do anything. Normally, Judgment doesn't do anything other than kind of buff a little bit of your damage. But for healing purposes, it doesn't do anything. So if you have the ring, you're already going to be using Judgment. You might as well pick up Judgment of Light because it's pretty close to healing anyways, and it buffs that healing as well. So I think a lot of people use Judgment of Light specifically with the ring. And I'm sure a lot of people use it without, but it's not hard to keep up Judgment. You just use it on cooldown and it doesn't really cost anything. So that's a pretty easy talent to use. And then the other talent in that row is Sanctified Wrath, which makes it so that Avenging Wrath normally lasts 20 seconds, and this buffs it up to be 25 seconds. And then on top of that, Holy Shock's cooldown is reduced by 50%. I think this is a really strong talent. It's just kind of, you need a situation for it. You kind of need a point where your normal Avenging Wrath is not quite enough for whatever, you know, circumstance. And okay. You kind of need a little more oomph on your Holy Shock. That's really the big thing for it in raiding. However, in Mythic Plus, I think you should probably always take Sanctified Wrath. Just because Judgment of Light, like I said, it's a 40-second or a 40-stack debuff. And when you're doing dungeons other than bosses, nothing stays alive long enough for you to like take off all 40 of those stacks. And like I said earlier, the Holy Shock is a big part of damage for Holy Paladins. And so whenever you pop Avenging Wrath, you do more damage. It lasts a little bit longer, and Holy Shock's cooldown is reduced by 50%. So that's how Holy Paladins can get just like huge bursts of damage on bosses, especially if you pair it with Crusader's Might. You basically hit Judgment, and that puts a little debuff on the enemy that kind of like a Red Paladin. It makes it so that your Holy Shock and Crusader Strike do more damage. You do Judgment, and then Holy Shock, Crusader Strike, Holy Shock, Crusader Strike, Holy Shock, Crusader Strike. It is crazy amounts of damage. So I would suggest Sanctified Wrath always for Mythic Plus or Dungeons. In Raids, you could probably take either. Just don't take Fervent Marker.
Which is the one that I took.
I didn't. I picked Judgment of Light.
What the heck? Why would I have taken that, though?
I have no idea. I swear. But like you mentioned, it was like a throwback to Judging, because I remember that was one thing I always did. I always had a macro that would target my target for Judgment. So if I had someone I was going to heal, if I had them targeted, I'd hit my Judgment and the macro would do a Judgment on whatever they were attacking. But I always remember you want it to have a Judgment buff on the debuff, whatever, on the mob that you're attacking to help your healing. So that's why I picked this one, is it reminded me of that.
Yeah, well, remember, we took that because I started Holy Pally healing in Blackwing Descent. And I was having mana problems, and at the time, Judgment was your huge...
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
It was your way to get mana back. So we fiddled around until we found the macro that was like target of target. So like I would be able to drop that on, you know, I'm still healing the tanks and everything, and then you drop a judgment on that, and then it would, you know, it would drop the judgment on whatever your tank was attacking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To talk just a little bit more about Fervent Martyr, I think what they were trying to do, I could be wrong, but it felt like they were kind of trying to make the like build up and release kind of thing that Holy Power used to be for Holy Paladins, where you kind of like build up some charges of something and then use it on something else that's really good. Mm-hmm. And I think if it had been something else, maybe if it had been using Light of the Martyr, increases the healing of something else, maybe it could have been better. But yeah, as it is, it's not so great.
Well, all right. I'm doing pretty good except for that.
So then our last row is our beacon row. And the first one is Beacon of Faith, making it so that you can apply a second beacon to a different person. Baseline, you just have one beacon. Beacon of Faith gives you a second. This is probably the main raiding talent, just because for the most part, both tanks are taking damage the whole time. So you put this on both tanks, you heal the rest of the raid, and it heals them. Normally, beacon is 40% of the healing is transferred. With Beacon of Faith, they felt like it was a little too strong. It absolutely was too strong. So they reduced it so that it really only gives 32% effectiveness if you're using Faith.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's not a huge nerf to what Faith used to be. It's still really strong, and it's still probably the better talent for most cases in raids. Nothing really too exciting there. However, Beacon of the Lightbringer, the second talent in that row, is really cool. It doesn't give you another beacon, but it does make it so that, your mastery is based on proximity to either you or the Beacon of Light target. So if you put it on your tank and you're standing with the range, you still get really good mastery on the melee or whatever.
Gotcha.
So that's really nice. Then it also increases the range of Light of Dawn and the healing by 30%. And so I don't think that the increase to the range of Light of Dawn and the healing by 30% necessarily justifies just taking that, especially if like you're on a fight like Krosis where you're all together. There's really not a huge need for it. But a fight where if you have like two very specific packs and you need to be with range in one pack and melees with another, I think this is fine. This is perfectly fine talent to take there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, Beacon of Virtue is very unique. It makes it so you don't have just like a everlasting buff for Beacon of Light. It makes it so that you kind of have it's a buff that you put on four targets. Well, you really put it on one target and then it just puts it on three additional targets within 30 yards. And it lasts for 8 seconds, but it has a 15 second cooldown. And this is really, really good for dungeons because Holy Paladins, outside of Light of Dawn, we don't have great AoE healing. And for the most part in dungeons, you're just healing the tank. And so having a beacon doesn't do a whole lot there. You're just going to be healing the beacon anyways. So what you can do is whenever there's a big chunk of like AoE damage, you hit Beacon of Virtue, it lands on everybody, and you just heal either the person that doesn't have it or the tank, and then that just picks everybody up. So that's a really, really great tool to help with AoE situations. And so typically in Mythic Plus, I take Beacon of Virtue. In Raiding, I typically take Faith, and on the odd fight, I'll take Beacon of Lightbringer.
Cool. Yeah, that Virtue sounds cool. I like that.
Yeah, they actually, I don't remember which patch. It was either 7.1 or 7.15. They reduce the mana cost of it. It used to be kind of hefty mana cost for, you know, something you wanted to use often.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was maybe aimed at trying to see a little bit more use in raids. I don't think it's unusable in raids. I think it just kind of needs a very specific case. I actually used it on Chronomatic Anomaly, because in Mythic, you get two of the adds, and so you kind of have to split your raid group up. And our strategy was to send a small group to one add and a big group to another add. And so I was healing the small group, so I just needed to keep everybody alive through that small thing, and I used Beacon of Virtue there. But like I said, that's a really like specific case need for that. So
mm-hmm.
I would love to see more fights where Beacon of Virtue could be useful. I'm just it's hard to get away from Beacon of Faith. Beacon of Faith is just so good, man.
Yeah, if you can put Beacon on both tanks, definitely I can see why that would be the go-to in raiding.
I know our pally healer was doing that, and he could not figure out what was going on and why he was able to put Beacon on both tanks. I think he was like, "Did they change Beacon? This is amazing." Turns out it was a talent.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, awesome. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to maybe get into a little bit of? We talked about holy power and whatnot. Do you maybe want to talk about resource management a little bit?
Yeah. Holy paladins are kind of unique. They've been this way for a long time, where we kind of just keep healing, and we don't really have big like throughput spells to use that are like, you know, really high mana cost, high healing. It kind of just everything costs roughly the same amount of mana and does roughly the same amount of healing. I mean, there's definitely differences, but for the most part, you just keep churning. That's just how the Holy Paladin works. You just keep healing constantly. And so because of that, we don't have a ton of ways for resource management. Really, the only choice you make is whether or not to cast Holy Light or Flash of Light. Holy Light is a longer cast, heals for a very small amount less, and it's cheaper, but Flash of Light is quite a bit faster and heals for, you know, a tiny bit more. And so obviously Flash of Light is going to be higher healing per second, but they're pretty similar, and so you just kind of choose between those two. That's really the only resource management you have. And so the best way to like reduce mana if it's a long fight is through talents. And like I kind of mentioned earlier, Crusader's Might is a great way to do that because you're spending time actually using Crusader Strike. You're regenerating mana through that. Divine Purpose is great because, again, it gives you just like free heals. And Judgment of Light is also really good because Judgment is really, really cheap. And it's a lot of healing from that. So if you need more mana for like a longer fight, I would say try out different talents. And then kind of play with using Holy Light as a filler for downtime when you don't need a ton of healing, and then Flash of Light only when you really need it. But outside of that, there's you basically just keep churning away.
Right, okay. So what is our basic single target? I guess it's not even a rotation anymore. Like it's...
No, not really. And I mean, this really kind of just depends on what you're doing. If you're looking at like a Mythic Plus and you're just trying to heal your tank, typically you want to use Holy Shock first because that's going to be a big heal plus you know, with high crit chance, you assume that's probably going to crit and give you an Infusion of Light. And then the power of Infusion of Light gives you 50% more on Flash of Light. So it's kind of just Holy Shock into Flash of Light, and you kind of just keep up with that. I will say that Light of the Martyr does more single, like it does more healing to that one target. Mm-hmm. However, if you consider the fact that you're basically hurting yourself at the same time, you're doing slightly less overall healing. But if you like really need to keep someone alive, spamming Light of the Martyr will keep them alive. It's just also going to hurt you.
Okay.
And then so in raiding, I mean, paladins are typically considered a, you know, like a good tank healer, but a lot of that is just Beacon of Light and a Beacon of Faith. We don't really heal the tanks a ton. If you chose Beacon of Lightbringer, I would say focus on the tank that you don't have a beacon on and go through that same rotation. Not really rotation, but Holy Shock and Flash of Light and maybe some Light of the Martyr if you feel like he's going to die, basically. Okay. But for the most part, I think our single target and AoE is kind of similar. We're just mostly just kind of healing the raid. And then Light of Dawn is really the only AoE that we have as well. And both of those you just kind of use on cooldown for the most part, Light of Dawn and Holy Shock. So there's not really a big difference for us as to whether or not we're healing AoE or single target. It's pretty similar.
Okay. And Light of Dawn is still that cone, hey, in front of you?
Yeah, so that was a spell they added in Cataclysm, which was the kind of like cone thing. I think the animation was a cone, but the actual projectile was more of like a rectangle. Uh-huh. And then they kind of got rid of that, so it was kind of just it just kind of healed people around you. And they've gone back to it's an actual cone now. But it also has like this kind of little 5-yard radius around you that also heals people. So if there's someone like directly behind you, even though the cone itself wouldn't hit, the little like AoE thing would still hit.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's good to know.
And, yeah. And that's, it's like a 12-second cooldown, maybe 10-second cooldown, something like that. That's reduced by haste. And so that's something we want to, you know, generally use quite a bit, especially in raiding. It's not quite as effective in, dungeons, but it can still be pretty good. Mm-hmm. I would consider Beacon of Virtue a much better AoE healing thing in Mythic Plus or Dungeon.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. We do have talents. Like I said, Light's Hammer is okay. Again, it's a minute cooldown, and it does pretty decent healing. And then Holy Prism, which is the one where you, it's a 20-second cooldown, you hit the mob or whatever, and then it radiates off to nearby allies for a decent chunk of healing. But other than that, we just, as baseline skills, we basically just have Light of Dawn as the only AoE thing. Other than that, it's just single target people.
Okay. What are our big cooldowns then?
I kind of covered a few of these. Yeah. Avenging Wrath is been our bread and butter for a really long time. It's definitely seen some changes, but for the most part, it's still the same as what it used to be. It's a 20-second buff on a 2-minute cooldown. It increases your healing by 35% and increases your crit chance by 20%. And so that's kind of you typically want to use that outside of anything else. And you don't necessarily always want to pair it with another cooldown. You kind of want to use it as its own thing. But you also want to use it quite a bit. And like I mentioned that Holy Paladins don't really have a way to spend mana very well. We don't have abilities that we can, you know, use to do a lot of AoE healing or something, like maybe a druid or a monk or something.
Right.
And I think that's kind of countered by having Avenging Wrath. Most other healers don't have a cooldown like this. They just kind of like keep going through their normal thing. And so that's, for us, we kind of use that for burst situations. That's our kind of like way to use more.
Okay, right. Druid, I guess. Because it's personal too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because you don't have a ton of AoE healing, you can't really use it as like a good raid cooldown necessarily, because you're still just doing your normal small AoE stuff and big single target heals. So it's definitely good for heavy healing situations, but it's not great to like cover a big raid cooldown or something. But our big raid cooldown is called Aura Mastery, which I think is pretty cool because they made it so that it works with whichever aura you took. And I mean, I kind of covered those when I was talking about the talents. But if you use it with Devotion Aura, it's 20% reduced damage for 8 seconds. If you use it with Aura Sacrifice, it's 15% of all healing is duplicated to everyone within the raid.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Aura of Mercy, it's just like, it's kind of just a really weak ticking hot kind of. It's like a much, much weaker Divine Hymn or Healing Tide or Tranquility, something like that.
What is the radius? I guess we didn't cover this in the auras, but what is the radius of the auras normally?
Normally it's only 10 yards, which is pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he's always talking about standing in melee, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not a big thing, but whenever you pop Aura Mastery, it increases to 40 yards.
So that's significant.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, usually when you use it, just like any other raid cooldown, you're using it and it's going to hit everybody else.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But again, Aura of Mastery is not great at a healing cooldown, but it'll definitely suffice for, you know, you're just trying to heal a big damage section up instead of using a ton of mana to heal everybody else up. It's pretty good for that. And then I think I covered Holy Avenger. That's kind of a small cooldown if you talent into it. Other than that, that's really only our big healing throughput cooldowns. We still have all of our blessings. They're back to being called blessings. They were blessings a long time ago, and they changed them to hands.
Yeah, I remember that.
We still have Blessing of Protection, which is basically makes it so that you can't be hurt by any physical damage. You can still be hurt by magical damage. But a really cool thing that they did in Legion was made it so that it doesn't stop you from attacking. So like putting it on melee or something doesn't hurt them as badly anymore. Because used to, if you put it on a melee or something, they just wouldn't be able to attack or do anything, which just really sucked. So that Freedom is still the exact same. Blessing of Sacrifice is still basically the same, but for a little while, like in, I think, I don't remember when they made the change, but then I know for sure in Warlords, you were able to put a glyph on it so that it didn't do any damage back to you. They changed that now, so that it always does damage to you, and it'll stop once you get down to 20%. But it'll still definitely do damage to you. And I think that was also it, like, so Order of Sacrifice, Blessing of Sacrifice, and Light of the Martyr all kind of do damage to you. And so I think that was the reason they gave us 15% more health.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
And those are kind of all, typically those are a little bit more useful in like dungeons. But they sometimes have, uses in raids. I think they've tried to get away from making Blessing of Protection usable for a lot of things in raids. That's kind of been a problem in a lot of raid encounters. I think the biggest one was in Blackrock Foundry, the Iron Maidens fight. You could just completely negate mechanics because of Blessing of Protection. And so that's not always great. It's not fun to always have to have a paladin for that kind of thing. So it's good that they're kind of getting away from that kind of thing.
Well, there was that, and then there was the... You could basically grief somebody with it too, right?
Yeah, that's true. Like, oh yeah.
I remember in Kata just being like, "Oh, it's like you're trying to top the meters, so you would throw it on somebody like a key moment or something."
Like. Yeah, definitely. And then so we still have Bubble, the like iconic paladin ability. Bubble is like a 5-minute cooldown, but they've kind of done kind of similar to Blessing of Protection. It doesn't work on everything. There's still things that can kill you through Bubble, which is kind of sad from like a, you know, fantasy perspective, but it makes sense. It's similar to like, you know, just negating mechanics. It's good that you can't just like completely nullify something through Bubble, but we still have it. And then we also have our own like personal damage reduction is called Divine Protection. It's a minute cooldown, and it lasts for I think 12 seconds. It's like 20% reduced damage for 12 seconds. So that's another little good one. But I think that's all of our cooldowns. Yeah.
All right. So you added a couple categories here, and I don't know why we didn't have them before, but they're good categories to have it. But legendaries. So what? Yeah, I'll let you just take it because legendaries are
Yeah, I talked a little bit. I talked earlier about the Judgment Ring. That's probably our best legendary. Whenever you use Judgment, it increases healing 100% for like 5 seconds. And especially with Judgment of Light, that's really good. I would say if you have the Ring legendary, Iltrendi, you want to use it, and you probably want to use Judgment of Light. The second one that's also really good is Obsidian Shoulders, Spalders maybe, Obsidian Spalders, I don't remember. But it makes it so that 30% of the healing done to you is transferred to your beacons. That's a pretty good one. It usually does a pretty decent chunk of your healing, and you don't even have to think about it. You just kind of, you know, does it for you. And then the third one I would consider kind of top tier is the new trinket they added for all healers. It's called Balin's something. I honestly don't remember what it's called, but the trinket is really good mostly because it's just kind of a stat stick trinket, which are typically really good for healers because we like the reliability of just stats. You know, we don't necessarily want to have to worry about some, you know, proc and then it's not when we need it. You know, we really like those just static things. So that, and it gives a minute and 15 second, I believe, on use effect that increases all healing by 15%. And then I think it's 15%. No, or excuse me, 50% of all overhealing is redirected to somebody else.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really, really good legendary for all healers, not just paladins. It's just really, really good in general. 50% of healing. So that's those three. I think the shoulders, the ring, and the trinket are probably the top three. If you have those three, definitely use two of those. And then we have three more, what I would consider throughput legendaries, as opposed to like, you know, utility legendaries. One is, that all paladin specs can get called Chain of Thrain. They just basically buffs your Avenging Wrath. For paladins or for holy paladins, it increases the healing by an additional 25%. And that's pretty good. It's not a bad legendary. The only reason I wouldn't consider it top tier is because it's it can lead to overhealing sometimes, but it's still good. It's still really good. And then you have Pridas, which everybody can get. That 25% max health, because we already have higher health, every 30 seconds is really nice, especially when you're like doing progression rating. That's a really nice one.
Yeah, I have that one on two characters, and as like good as it is, it just doesn't feel good.
Oh yeah, no, I completely understand that. It never like feels that good, but it really is. It really is a good legendary. And so then the last throughput we have is called Murad's Dying Breath. And this is a really unique legendary because I mentioned about Light of the Martyr. Light of the Martyr is kind of an oddball spell that you don't really want to use a ton. But this one makes it so that whenever you heal with Light of Dawn, it increases Light of the Martyr by 10% per person hit. And Light of the Dawn usually hits 5 people, so it increases Light of the Martyr by 50% usually. And it makes it so that Light of the Martyr will transfer to Beacon, which it normally doesn't. So it's a pretty decent legendary. It's just not quite as good as the top three, the shoulders, the ring, and the trinket, but it's still all right. And I think one of the problems with it is because, there's another item in the game called Drape of Shame, which is from Maidens in the Kara, like Return to Karazhan.
Mm-hmm.
And the effect on this cloak is it increases the healing of your critical healing effects by 10%, which is just crazy good for paladins because we already like crits. It's really good for all healers in general, but it's really, really good for paladins. Even so, I think the base item level is 855. And even at 855, the effect of the increased crit healing by 10% is better than something like 920 item level of a similar cloak. Like, it's that good.
Wow.
And so because of that, you typically want to use that cloak in if you have the option to use other legendaries. You know, mm-hmm. if you didn't have a cap on how many legendaries you could use, maybe Murad's Dying Breath would be all right. But because you can only use two, if you have two other throughput ones and you have Drape of Shame, the one from Karazhan, I would use Drape of Shame almost as if it was a legendary and then use two other ones.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it really is crazy good. And to think that in 7.2, you know, Karazhan is going to become a Mythic Plus, so it's going to be even higher item level chance or a much easier time to get a higher item level. So it's definitely going to be a best in slot for us for quite a while. I think for most healers, to be honest with you, it's just that good.
Huh.
And so then... No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to ask another question. It's unrelated, so carry on.
Okay. Then our last legendaries, I'll just kind of go over them real quick. We have Bracers that makes it so that when you use one of your blessing spells, it heals them for 15% of their max health. That can't crit. It can't transfer to beacons. It's just flat 15%. So it's decent on tanks, but it's not worth using over another one. And your blessings also last a little bit longer. I would consider that more in the like utility category. It's not fantastic. There's boots that increase your movement speed by 75% of your crit or haste, whichever's higher. And for us, we have pretty high crit, so I mean that can be around 30% extra movement speed, which is not bad. But again, it doesn't increase your throughput. And then we also have gloves that reduce the cooldown of Lay on Hands, which is a cooldown I forgot to mention. It reduces the cooldown on Lay on Hands by like 60% or something. Which is pretty cool. I mean, if you if there's traits in the artifact weapon that already also reduce the cooldown of Light of Hands, if you have that legendary that reduces the cooldown of Lay on Hands, it can be like a 2-minute cooldown, which is it's a lot of healing on a 2-minute cooldown.
That's insane.
Yeah, I mean,
that's crazy.
It's pretty good for dungeons. I wouldn't necessarily say it's great for raiding, just because the other ones give you so much more. But it's not terrible. It's just, I would consider it kind of a not quite as good as the other ones, I guess. Yeah, but yeah, those are all our legendaries.
What I was going to ask relates to the artifact. The artifact ability, when do we use that? I don't know if you brought it up already or missed it.
Oh, no, I didn't. That's a good question.
Yeah,
so that's another cooldown we have. It's a minute and a half cooldown, and so what it does is you just use it. You don't use it on anybody else. You just use it, and it's kind of like a hot. It just kind of bounces around and heals people within 15 yards of you.
Oh, okay.
For a small amount. I think it lasts 10 seconds and it heals every 1 second. So it's a decent amount of healing, but it also, whenever it heals somebody, it puts a little buff on them that increases the healing from Holy Light and Flash of Light by 20% for 10 seconds. So typically I would just use it. Honestly, I would probably use it almost on cooldown if you have some damage going out. It's not going to be like a great cooldown and, you know, keep your raid alive kind of thing, but it's nice to have. It's just nice to like layer on top of other things while you're doing, you know, raid healing.
Okay.
In Mythic Plus, it's really good if you need more healing on the tank. Like if your tank's just getting crushed, you pop that. It does some decent healing to him and increases your target healing as well. So that's a pretty good use for it.
Great. Another category you added here, I know you've mentioned it quite a bit throughout, but Mythic Plus.
Yeah, the only thing I really want to mention about Mythic Plus is kind of the Holy Paladin's role in Mythic Plus. I had to mention this too about we do good damage, but I think not just that we do good damage, but we do like absurd damage compared to other healers. And I think that's like one of the biggest reasons to take a Holy Paladin is because I mean, obviously it's going to depend on your gear, but you can beat DPS on, you know, the first 30 seconds of a boss fight or something.
Nice.
Especially with the right talents. And so the only thing I would talk about there is Crusader's Might is typically really good because of the DPS. And then Holy Avenger, Sanctified Wrath, Beacon of Virtue, and Devotion Aura. That kind of like talent selection there is usually what I run in Mythic Plus, which is kind of a little bit different from what I would run in raids. Devotion Aura, just because you don't really need the aura mastery of anything. Like your raid cooldown's not that great to begin with. So having that just like passive damage reduction is really nice. Mm-hmm. Holy Avenger is really good for the, you know, extra packs, or you can like use it, spread it out with other cooldowns for each pack. Sanctified Wrath, I mentioned, is really good for damage. Reducing Holy Shock's cooldown by 20% makes it so you can do crazy damage. And then Beacon of Virtue is just a better way to AoE heal. You can kind of just use it whenever you need it. You don't really have to worry about it outside of whenever the rest of the group is taking a lot of damage.
Okay. And Devotion Aura in a five-man, you're not competing with anyone else on the meter, so it makes it a lot more viable.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't care if, you know, someone else is beating you in healing. Funny. Absolutely.
Where would you rank Paladin healers then for Mythic Plus dungeons?
You know, I think that's really hard. I think most healers are good. I would say Holy Paladin is up there near the top. I think Resto Shaman and Resto Druid are both really good in Mythic Plus as well. Maybe they're in the top three, but again, that list is really, really close. I think every healer can do really well in Mythic Plus, so I wouldn't worry too much about it, to be honest.
That's fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Consecration, for protection, you get a buff from it, so it increases your healing from, I can't remember the spell, but anyway, if you're standing in your consecration, does it do anything like that for Holy? Is there any benefit to it?
No, it doesn't really do anything. I think that's just a prot thing. I think, yeah, it increases Light of the Protector. I think
that's
it increases your Shield of the Righteous, maybe. I'm not an expert on prot paladins. So,
yeah, it's just...
But yeah, it doesn't do anything, probably.
Okay. Are there any advanced tips or tricks? I know you've sprinkled a few of them throughout as we've been talking here, but is there any that come to mind that can help us bring our Holy Paladin game to the next level?
I don't know that I really have a ton of great tips, especially like an advanced tips or anything. The only thing I could think of is that when you use Beacon of Light, when you use Beacon of Virtue, you can precast a Flash of Light, and if you like are casting Flash of Light and then right at the end of Flash of Light you hit Beacon of Virtue, if you do it at like right as it's ending, like you're mashing the button, the healing from Flash of Light will still transfer to Beacon of Virtue even though you've done it after Flash of Light.
Okay, that's tricky.
Yeah, that's really the only like, you know, advanced tip I can think of, to be honest. Other than that, just always be casting something. If there's no healing, do some damage, but just always be casting something. I think a lot of players typically just kind of stand around sometimes. That to get to the next level, just always be casting something. Figure out a way to always cast something.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, yeah, I don't know. I can't really think of anything that's like a tip or trick, really.
All right. Rob, do you have any other questions?
No, I think you pretty much asked like everything that I was thinking. That nailed it. Like, I don't know. I have one int trinket, but my other trinkets are DPS or tank, so I'm going to have to snag another trinket or maybe use like the heirloom one. But I think I have a legendary and I can at least get into current LFR stuff. So I'll have to give it a spin, see how it feels.
Maybe we should dual pally heal LFRs.
That's a dangerous thing. You and me pally heal at LFR.
Although listening, like this was really good because it sounds like a lot of fun to play a Holy Paladin. Just the way hearing you talk about it and the abilities, I really do want to give this a try. I know I say that at the end of a lot of our class guide episodes, but I think I'm really going to do it with the Holy Paladin.
It is a lot of fun. And you know, one of the really cool things about Holy Paladins that I think is kind of unique to them is that you can use, other than Fervent Martyr, which I mentioned, you can use pretty much any talent you want. And you're really not going to be like too far behind like in healing or anything. Use whatever you want, play how you want, or you know, with the talents, and you're going to be fine. So I think you can definitely find a unique playstyle that fits you and still works really well.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, Daryl's always liked Holy Pally. So.
Mm-hmm. No, that's awesome. All right. Well, you can send us an email at the show at thetrainingdummies.com if you have anything to add to this topic or have questions about future topics. Or please feel free to leave us a voicemail there as well, which no one has done in probably 2 years. But you can also join our Discord server, and that is at discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you have for some shout-outs this evening?
Dom and Mal for coming along last night to raid, filling a couple of slots that we had. And to the raid team, because we're actually getting back on the progression train again. So it's nice to be, 7 of 10 now?
Yep.
And to Dream Guard for taking some time out of your weekend to come hang out with us and do the Holy Pally thing. So thank you very much.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks.
Daryl, what about you? What do you got?
Man, see, we got to reverse this too, like switch it up where I get to go first, because I was going to say Mal and Dom for stepping in last night.
If you remember, it used to be that way.
Yeah, and, I know. Yeah. And I was giving you a chance, but maybe we should switch it back. But yeah, Mal, we had one of our tanks couldn't make it last night, so Mal stepped up and tanked for us, and we had a couple healers go on, what did she say, sabbatical? Is that the term she used yesterday? So anyway, Dom stepped up and healed for us last night as well, while we looked for a replacement. The raid team, that was great. We got another new boss down, so that's exciting, and I had a lot of fun last night. Dream Guard, of course, for coming on and piquing my interest for Holy Paladin. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
Do you have any shout-outs this evening?
To the moderators at the Hammer of Wrath Paladin Discord. They do a great job, and that's a huge, huge community, so... they do a really good job there. Shout out to Allure, who is a Holy Paladin in, I think, Wiping as Intended, which is an EU guild. He did a lot of some of the like trinket work that I use in my spreadsheet. He's just done a lot of theorycrafting work to help me out with stuff. There's probably a ton of other theorycrafters I could name, but that's something.
All right. Well, before we wrap this up, where can people reach you if they have more questions about this topic or anything else?
You can find me on Twitter. My name is just Dreamguard ASC, because that's the guild I raid in, Antisocial Club. And then you can also go to sacredshielding.wordpress.com. That's kind of a little blog that I have. And then you can also go to the Wowhead Holy Paladin Guide and leave comments there as well.
I believe that wraps up episode 157 of The Training Dummies. You can find this or past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, or thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time,
it's advice you can trust
woo, woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo!